Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right,
right
now.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter. @BackseatZach or @BackseatJack.
Ah, you are back in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati alongside James Troiano. We got a lot going on this week.
Too much.
We got
too
a
much,
lot going
much,
on.
Yeah, too much.
We're packed. Some drama happened in sports this past week. Some off the field, off the court stuff happened. Later on, yeah. We're going to jump into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Regular season ended yesterday. That is Saturday, the 7th. We got Greg Wyshynski from the Yahoo Sports blog, Puck Daddy, with us later on. You don't want to miss that. But like I said, drama off the court, off the field. Guys getting in trouble, making mistakes, doing dumb things. Where should we start? Bobby Petrino, you're disappointed in the male race this week.
Yeah, what size is that Red Bull you're drinking over there, man?
It's 8 ounces. It's
8 ounces.
Do they have a smaller one?
No, they don't have a smaller one.
God,
than
Red
that,
Bull
huh?
should have an endorsement deal with us by at this point.
That would be nice.
We talk about them a little too much.
Actually, we'll go ahead and look into that. Actually, that sounds like a great idea. I mean,
Bobby Petrino,
yeah.
Head coach, Arkansas Razorbacks football team.
So here, let's preview this
let's outline this. Roman numeral one.
Because Tully still apparently hasn't heard this story.
Right.
So this will be good for him too.
Well, I have, but it was like one of those like it's on TV, like when I'm at a restaurant and you can't hear it.
And you need to pay attention to get like the full.
Yeah.
He's a football coach, and you're aware. And for those who don't know, we are based in Atlanta, that he coached the Falcons for what, James, like 13 games?
He left in the middle of the season.
He did. They were out of playoff contention,
mm-hmm.
and they lost to the Saints, a Monday night game late in the season, and he he goes to the locker room and tells them, you know, we got to finish the drill. Okay, I understand that we're not going to the playoffs, but you got to finish the drill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got to, you know, take it all the way in to the end. The next day, he leaves. Leaves for Arkansas. And let's face it, James, if there's any job that you just can't resist leaving the NFL for, it's the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's the one you can't turn down.
I mean, when you think premier jobs in sports, I think it starts and it ends with Arkansas football.
It starts and it ends in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Pig Suey.
Woo, Pig Suey. He was doing that cheer literally. I'm not even kidding about this. We're bringing Tully up to speed.
Oh, yes.
He was doing that cheer like 20 hours after telling the Falcons that they had to finish the drill.
Yeah. Right, so fast forward to Sunday.
Right.
Not a week ago.
He has been the coach at Arkansas since the 2008 season. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a few years.
So Bobby Petrino gets in a motorcycle accident.
He does.
No big deal, right?
Yeah. He's kind of like out away from the beaten path. He's taking a motorcycle ride last weekend.
It's the off season. He's taking a day for himself, and he's enjoying the nice early summer weather that we have been experiencing here in the Southeast.
The destination.
And I guess he's going too fast around a turn and he wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
So a concerned citizen passerby offers mm-hmm. to call 911 for Mr. Bobby Petrino.
Of course.
He declines. He declines.
That's odd behavior. You know what? If you had gotten in a motorcycle crash, wouldn't you say, yes, please, Good Samaritan, alert the emergency authorities.
Right. I'm a little out of it. I just wrecked on my motorcycle.
That is not what Bobby does.
Well, that's because there's a little twist to this. This is no ordinary motorcycle accident. No. Not with Bobby Petrino. It never is.
No, never an ordinary motorcycle accident.
It turns out Bobby Petrino was entertaining a young lady on the back of his motorcycle.
25 years old.
Yeah, 25 years old, and this is Bobby Petrino, 51-year-old Bobby Petrino, mm-hmm. who has a wife and four kids.
Mm-hmm. Her name's Jessica Durrell. She just got hired. He hired her in the football department a week before. Is that what they're saying?
I believe he hired her husband to work on the staff.
Mm-hmm. This is getting Mari Povich really fast.
Now,
it is Arkansas.
I had a couple personal questions. That I
you demand answers for.
Yes. First of all, since when did Bobby Petrino become the Dos Equis guy? Like, younger women, are younger women looking at Bobby Petrino and going, I gotta have that. I have got to have that.
Jessica has a master's degree, a fiance, and good looks.
She's hot.
She is.
And Bobby Petrino...
He's not.
I mean, he's just...
He's Bobby Petrino. Yeah.
This should give hope to all older men.
I was just
going to
make that comment.
Absolutely.
Because apparently...
You don't have to try hard.
Look.
You don't have to...
This is going to become a new...
You don't have to bring much to the table.
This is going
to
be a new slang. You're going to say... This is going to be a verb. He Petrinoed that.
Well, see, there's...
All right? If an undeserving older past his prime gentleman sweeps a hot 20-something out from under her fiancé, he Petrinoed her.
So what you're actually proposing we do here is change Petrinoed from...
Because there already was a Petrino
someone slang. That leaves unexpectedly, like... Yeah, he just got Petrinoed, man. She just got up and left. Well, like, she wasn't like...
When you look up Petrino, it can be A, somebody who leaves irresponsibly or unexpectedly.
Yeah.
B, someone who acquires a young hot woman he doesn't deserve. There can be many meanings to Petrinoed, the verb. So he's just stacking up the bad deeds that we can ruin his name with.
Right.
Does Arkansas fire him?
The AD says no. Apparently he can recover from this.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I hope that he ends up at like Austin, PA University or something.
Here's what I thought about. When you're a college football coach, you have more players under you than I think any other sport. And you've got like 85 guys on the roster. It's a lot. So and not to mention they're all between the ages of like 18 and 22. And to be a college football coach, you have to have very good leadership and command of a large group of young guys. I mean, guys that are 18 to 22 are trouble prone, in case anyone didn't know. And if you have to tell them, you know, I need to know where you're at on campus. I need to be able to reach you whenever. I mean, there's 80 of them.
Yeah.
I need you to be honest with me. You need to behave. You need to be a model citizen at this school. How can you convince that kind of respect out of those guys if you have done this? They're not going to respect that side of what coaching is. No. Now, they may like your game plan. They may like the plays that you draw up. But if you lose control of 80 young guys, that's not a recipe for, solitude at Arkansas.
Well, I mean, I think now we know Bobby Petrino's recruiting strategy. will you be in a successful football system, he'll also tell you how to score younger women.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, she was part of the recruiting department in some way or fashion.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, yeah. So I guess it was her. She was the employee, huh?
Yeah. So you know, who knows what's going to happen there. The other side that you keep hearing people talk about is, look, Arkansas is about as good lately as they're going to get. They finished fifth in the nation last year. It's Arkansas. We just made a couple jokes about how it's not a destination job earlier. So if you're that AD and this guy has gotten you into the top 10, it's hard to let go of if you're a program like Arkansas. I mean, you're always looking up at Alabama and LSU in that division. And so that's going to be a tough one to let go of.
He probably needs to, whether he gets fired, I think he needs to leave.
Resign.
Yeah, and...
And he can save his chances of getting hired.
Start fresh somewhere else.
Well, starting fresh is his specialty, isn't it?
Well, people seem to forget what he's like every time he gets hired, and then they're surprised by this kind of stuff. Yeah. So, somebody will do it. Yeah, somebody will hire him.
Bobby Petrino isn't the only coach that's, having a disagreement with other men in an organization. Stan Van Gundy.
These two guys are on opposite ends of the respectability spectrum.
Well, here's what happened with Stan Van Gundy this week. He became privy to some information that he had not previously been.
Yeah.
He found out from Magic Management, and he still hasn't said...
Well, it's not that he found out from Magic. A source leaked this information.
Well, he's
got a buddy.
And he told everyone
he's got a buddy
that,
in the front
that it was someone in management, that Dwight Howard at some point this season, and specifically recently this season, wanted Van Gundy to be fired, wanted to get him fired. Now, that creates an awkward situation. And as we saw, I think this was Tuesday or Wednesday, Van Gundy's giving like the typical daytime, you know, practice press conference to the reporters in the practice gym. And he says, yeah, well, Dwight Howard, I found out, wanted to get me fired. And then, you know, just talked about how that's going to create some unrest among an organization. Howard himself is mere feet away in the practice gym, but didn't know that he was talking about that. Comes over, jumps into the middle of the press conference.
Acting all buddy-buddy.
About the most awkward thing I have ever seen in a little presser on TV.
And
I saw it happen, and my shoulders went up, and I cringed a little bit. And it was weird.
You could actually see Stan Van Gundy's blood pressure rising. You could see it.
Yeah, and then after the game, and they lost badly that night to the Knicks.
And Howard had an eight-point
game.
Yeah.
And then Van Gundy says, I thought he played hard.
What's he going to say? At this point, he's gone at the end of the year anyway. Another team's going to be lucky to have that
guy. I think
they're
both gone.
No. Well, not,
it's possible.
No. Well,
it's possible.
It's possible, but Dwight Howard's not definitely gone. Stan's definitely gone, and I mean... So he's going to make a team better. I mean, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
He is a wonderful coach that a lot of teams would be happy to have. I'm confused by this.
Yeah.
I know that they haven't, rumor has it that they haven't got along for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
They have conflicting personality styles.
Right.
But there's only so many good NBA coaches to go around. Like, who do you want to be your coach? You know?
Right. No, it's the same thing in NHL. We talked about that before. If you're going to fire your coach as a hockey team, it's similar in the NBA and NHL. Who are you going to get?
Exactly.
You know, it's not like football where there's always some guy.
I mean, the Lakers, Phil Jackson retired,
mm-hmm.
and the Lakers had to get Mike Brown. That was the best option on the market for the Lakers. Yeah. Who is Orlando going to get?
Right.
Okay, so...
And
after
the game where they got blown out by the Knicks that night, a reporter asked Van Gundy, can you tell us who your source is in the front office? And he looks at the guy and he says, I work for them. Yeah. He said, why does it matter? I work for them. Why does it matter?
I like that he got this out in the open, though, because it's healthy to do that rather than let it simmer.
Yeah, and I like that he had a real
attitude
about it.
Are you two ladies texting each other?
No, actually, here's what he's doing.
While we're letting me know. How's your fantasy baseball team doing,
while
buddy?
We're in the same...
he's letting me know that Bubba Watson just won the Masters.
You could say that. look, there it is. Bubba Watson just won the Masters.
So now,
now
everyone knows exactly when we were recording. Everyone knows the moment.
Why not? Who cares?
All right.
Anyway,
Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard, they're having some drama. Well, you know what? That's going to fix itself in the offseason.
Well,
almost promise that they won't both be there next year.
No, Stan's gone.
Right.
Like, this is it.
Bobby Petrino has some ground to make up in his personal life and at Arkansas.
And he'll be able to do that from the sidelines of Western Michigan.
Guess who else is having a little bit of trouble lately? Warren Sapp.
Oh, that's
former Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Add this to the list of...
Tampa Bay Buccaneer and University of Miami defensive lineman. He is bankrupt.
Yeah.
And here's what's confusing for the average citizen, the average Joes like us. I read last night he only has $6.4 million. I'm confused about what bankrupt means now, if that's the case. Now, I get it.
You want to know what it means?
You don't have to be sarcastic. He owes more than he's got. But here's the problem. He listed in his assets 240 pairs of Jordan shoes. First of all, a guy his size, I can't picture him wearing Jordans with like shorts or something. It wouldn't look right. He's got 240 of those. There haven't been 240 years since they started making those shoes. Like, so he's got multiple pairs of the same shoe.
He's got 250?
240. Jordans.
Well, he needs to list 240 pairs of Jordans on eBay and sell those. Okay, that's what you do when you're broke. You don't keep 240 pairs of
You know what
shoes.
Killed me? And I'm never going to feel bad for Warren Sapp, but you know what killed me about this? Is that typically when we hear that an ex-athlete is bankrupt, mm-hmm. it's usually a guy you haven't heard from in a while.
Right.
And so that's kind of wise because he's been doing his private life and he's been spending all his money. Warren Sapp has a job.
Yeah.
He's on the NFL Network.
I mean, I guess he spent a little too extravagantly while he was a player, and now he can't pay the bills.
And I hear he's getting paid over $500,000 to work for the NFL Network.
Yeah.
That is a spending problem.
Yeah.
That is a spending problem. All right, so off the field, off the court, we got a lot of guys that are getting into trouble and just getting into some difficult situations these days. Greg Wyshynski's not in a difficult situation. He's got a great gig over at Yahoo Sports. He's the Puck Daddy blogger. We got him coming up later on in the Backseat Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatjim.
All right, we've got Greg Wyshynski of the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports with us now in the backseat. And the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are upon us. And anyone who reads the Puck Daddy blog or anyone that's a hockey fan really knows that there is not one story in hockey that gets by this guy. I mean, there is every detail in the hockey world is on the Puck Daddy blog. So, Greg, we're taking a look at your article about ranking the playoff matchups earlier, and it looks like, in your opinion, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia is the can't-miss matchup this year.
It doesn't even come close. I mean, it's the combination of star power and secondary storylines and mutual animosity and just two teams in the same state. You got the geographic thing too. It's such a perfect playoff series in the sense that it's just going to be fueled with chaos and fueled with hatred from the players to the front offices to the media to the fans trying to see who's going to be able to vandalize the Rocky statue or the Mary Lemieux statue first.
Well, it sounds like you're expecting a lot of violence out of this one.
Well, it could be. You know, the interesting thing about this series is the fact that they've played twice in, like, the last week before the end of the regular season.
Right.
They had that brawl, or, you know, what passed for a brawl at the end of that one game that set off Peter Laviolette and then set in motion all these accusations about the Penguins being whiners and hypocrites. And that meme was then picked up by John Tortorella later in the week. But then they had that second game on the last day of the regular season, and it was sort of just a couple fights, but nothing too crazy happening. I think things can get a little crazy between these two teams if it's a long series. But it's not going to be, you know, Patrick Division, late 1980s, blood on the ice kind of thing. It's just going to be a really rough, cheap shot kind of series, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if a couple players took some battle damage.
Yeah, what a after the whistle stuff.
No, totally, totally.
Right. So, are you feeling a 7-game series here, and who do you think is going to come out on top?
I don't know quite who's going to come out on top yet. I'm sort of surprisingly leaning Philly, I like the the scoring depth wise, both of these teams have some goals, but I like the toughness that Philly brings throughout its lineup. I mean, guys like Wayne Simmons all the way down the lineup. A lot of it's going to be contingent on whether or not they can get Briere and James Van Riemsdyk healthy. And then it's really contingent on whether or not Brizgalov is an actual, you know, playoff goaltender that you can rely on instead of being the complete flake that he was in Phoenix in the last two seasons in the playoffs. And I know, you know, Brizgalov is a flake. It's a hell of a stretch. So a lot of it's contingent on that, but I think it's going to be a long series. I think these are two evenly matched teams, and it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not the Flyers can kind of keep Crosby, keep Malkin in check, and get some at least three really strong performances out of Brizgalov, in which he outplays Fleury.
Well, you know, this seems like the kind of series that could embody, you know, what people love about playoff hockey, even people who aren't necessarily big hockey fans. You know, this could be the kind of thing that could really entertain people, even the mild fan. It looks like another series that you're excited about watching is Boston and Washington. What are you expecting to see here, and who is the player that's going to really drive this series one way or another?
Well, Washington's been one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year. I mean, I think it's funny that you have the last year's Stanley Cup champion playing a team that many people thought could win this year's Stanley Cup, but then right. The wheels came off. They fired their coach. They just simply haven't been able to be consistent. They've played pretty decent down the stretch here to make the playoffs and then establish themselves as the number 7 seed. But they tease. I mean, they're a teasing team. You know, Ovechkin's been very good in the last couple of weeks, but the rest of the team can kind of come and go. And now all of a sudden you've got a rookie goaltender by the name of Braden Holtby that they're going to probably pin their hopes on with Michael Neuvirth and Thomas Vokoun both injured. So the Capitals are kind of a weird team to peg down. It's going to be a physical series. Boston doesn't know how to play any other way. It will be very interesting to see if the whole Tim Thomas skipping the White House thing rears its ugly head again when this series switches back to D.C. I've been saying on the blog that the single greatest weapon the Capitals could employ in this series is if Barack Obama finally shows up to watch a game in the first round of this playoff series. He goes to see Tim Thomas, but Tim Thomas doesn't go to see him. That would be kind of rich. But, you know, I think of the three possible matchups for the Capitals in the first round that they could have had, This was the one I thought was the bad one, because I think Boston's physicality, their play 5-on-5, Thomas, the fact that they know how to win in the playoffs, I don't think this is a very good matchup for the Caps, even though they are a team that, you know, could surprise you, I think, a little bit. But you know, they're also a team that I think is better in reputation and better on paper than they actually are on the ice.
Well, hopefully Tim Thomas doesn't get hung up at Dulles or Reagan with some kind of Secret Service, you know, trouble or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because when I was at the White House and the whole Thomas thing happened, and I was one of the people that that was sort of defending his right to do what he did, and,
right.
and said, you know, it was kind of okay that he did that. I have been to Canada probably about, I'd say, 50 times doing this gig. And the time I went after that whole White House thing was the only time I got stopped at immigration and sent over to like the table where they grill you about your whereabouts and your background. And I said to myself, did I get put on a list because I defended Tim Thomas and went through White House security? But and then to reinforce my conspiracy theory, the next time I went to Canada, nothing happened. So,
it's never a safe world anymore for sports bloggers.
Exactly. Singling me out because I defended the rights of a free citizen.
So do you think this series is going to hinge on the rookie goaltending for Washington that you mentioned earlier?
I think it's going to hinge on whether or not Washington can outscore Boston. And I don't mean that in a simple way, but I mean that in a way of their offense needs to be the catalyst, much like it was in New York in the season finale,
mm-hmm.
where they go out and they score two goals in the first period. They need to establish a lead and then build on that lead, because what the Capitals have done in the last few weeks is when they've scored, they've given up a goal pretty quickly. When they've gotten out to a lead, they've allowed teams to creep back into it in the third period. So they need to just really kind of apply pressure to a Boston team that puts the puck in the net with some frequency, but is by no means an offensive juggernaut, and also kind of get through the mystique of Tim Thomas between the pipes, too. So the offense is where I'm looking for, because if this is a series of 2-1 games, the Capitals are going out in five.
And then you probably have to imagine the matchup between Chara and Ovechkin. You know, whoever comes out of that one is going to sway pretty heavily in their team's favor.
Yeah, totally. And that's the other reason I don't like this matchup, is because not only is it Chara and Ovechkin, but it's also Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand.
Mm.
The Bruins have a number of players that they can put out in a defensive capacity that can really kind of play around and put a damper on the Caps' top line. And the Caps have been having real struggles trying to establish secondary scoring all season. So, you know, the same folks that were deployed to put the kibosh on the Sedins and Ryan Kessler and all those guys in the Stanley Cup final when they played Vancouver, they'll be playing the same role against the Capitals, and that's a tough matchup.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like the Western Conference matchup you're most excited about seeing is two teams with varying levels of tradition and history. Detroit, with everything you could want out of a hockey franchise over the years. And then, you know, Nashville, almost a perennial playoff team these days, and a lot of familiarity playing in the same division. What are you looking for there?
There is, and I think it's interesting that this series is sort of a passing the baton series. I mean, I think a lot of people see this as the Predators being the upstart, you know, Shea Weber's in and Nicholas Lidstrom's out, Barry Trotz is in, Mike Babcock's out, that whole kind of thing. And a team that's really been trying to build on the success they had in the postseason last year to try to grow into a Stanley Cup champion, versus the Red Wings, who admittedly are, you know, getting up in years. Lidstrom, Holmstrom, this could be their last ride. They've been a contender for quite a long time. So I think there's been sort of the painting of this series as the young upstart kind of going over the old veteran, and then you know the tide turns. I think that disrespects the Red Wings in a pretty severe way. I think the Red Wings are a damn good hockey team, and one that I think might be I think they're being taken lightly in this series. I think people have really fallen in love with Nashville, and rightfully so. They've got offensive depth, they've got great defense, they've got one of the best coaches in hockey. But I think it's been at the expense of a Red Wings team that could very easily win this series, and quite honestly doesn't often lose in the first round.
No, and I was actually thinking about this coming in today. I couldn't remember the last time, because technically Detroit is the underdog.
Yeah.
In this, if you want to give them that title, right. They're technically the underdog because they're the fifth seed.
It doesn't even look right.
When was the last time?
The series with Detroit is starting in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't look right.
But yeah, yeah. No, Detroit.
But these guys are assassins. That's the thing, man. And I think, you know, the thing with Nashville and the media is that there's a love fest. That the Canadian media that used to dog Nashville as being a bad market now sees that fan base rise up, sell out games, be extraordinarily enthusiastic, and now I think they have white man's guilt about it. So now they're all back in Nashville, right, to try to get past Detroit, win a Stanley Cup, that whole thing. So there's an exorbitant amount of love, I think, for Nashville coming from the media. And like I said, I think that overlooks how good this Detroit team is.
Yeah, I think Detroit, I think in the last 2 weeks, I've caught just glimpses of the games, and I think at least half of them they've scored game winners or tied games up in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, they're clutch. And they're also pacing themselves. And like they said after that loss to Chicago that gave them the 5 seed, they're like, you know what? We're old, man. We don't want to travel. This is better than having to fly out the net to Phoenix again like we've had to do in the previous 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another Western Conference series that you're putting on the watch list here is the 1 seed Vancouver and the 8 seed Los Angeles Kings. So it doesn't look like you think the Kings are going to be a pushover, even though they're the 8 seed.
No, I don't. I mean, they can't score. I mean, that's the real problem. That's a problem that gets remedied a little bit when Jeff Carter's healthy, but they still can't put the puck in the net. But they can defend and defend well and play gritty hockey. And Jonathan Quick, I think, has really had an education in the postseason, and it's made him a better goaltender, and I think he's going to be a real force in this series. Vancouver will win. I think it's going to go a bit longer than people think, maybe 6, which was the duration of their previous series a couple of years back. But L.A. will give them a challenge. But I think whether or not Daniel Sedin's healthy or not, Vancouver's going to advance past the series.
If Los Angeles was going to pull the huge upset, who would have to lead them that way?
Well, quick for one. I mean, I think he's the best goaltender in the league this year. I'd vote for, if I had a Vezina vote, I'd vote for him. I think he's been better than Lundqvist. But it would probably have to be the Jeff Carter, Mike Richards duo. I mean, Kopitar's line is going to do what it does, but they're going to need that line to really come through, and especially on special teams when they get the opportunities. Because, you know, if Luongo's not playing against Chicago, or having to play road games in Boston, he's pretty good in the playoffs, and so they're going to have to really find a way to put some pucks behind him. And of course, the scary thing about Vancouver this year is that once you do that, now all of a sudden Corey Schneider is right there, and he might be option 1A for them.
Greg, something that, you know, just like any sport, there's a lot of pressure. There's always a guy that's on the hot seat. There's a lot of pressure if you're a head coach. Is there a guy that is leading his team into the playoffs right now who is still on the hot seat and could lose his job, a head coaching job, if he doesn't have a good postseason?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you make the cut, you're usually going to be safe. And, and even a guy like Todd McClellan with the Sharks, I mean, I think if the Sharks had missed the playoffs, he would have been sacrificed for it. But then making the playoffs, maybe he comes back with a shorter lease. A shorter leash. You think about a guy like Alain Vigneault in Vancouver. If they don't come through, I mean, is he going to be sacrificed? I don't necessarily see it. I think they would probably make some other changes before they fire the coach there. I don't know if there is necessarily a guy that if the team doesn't respond in the playoffs, he's going to have to pay for it with his job. I do think no matter what the Capitals do, Dale Hunter is going back to junior next year. But that's just, you know, my opinion and what I've heard from the folks in London. But, that remains to be seen. Maybe he falls in love with his team if they go on a run in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that makes the playoffs so exciting and the NHL in general is that there are so many trophies. And if you love trophies, there's no shortage here. Even though there's 16 teams left and a lot of players involved, do you have some candidates that could be Conn Smythe winners in a couple months?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think both Malkin and Crosby are going to be on that list. Their point totals, if the Penguins continue to advance, are just going to be sick. and Malkin obviously already has one condo his name. If the Flyers win that series, now all of a sudden you're talking about a guy like Claude Giroux maybe being in play. If the Rangers come out of the East, it's probably going to be on the shoulders of Henrik Lundqvist, and goaltenders win the Conn Smythe with much more frequency than they do the Hart Trophy in the regular season. Over in the West, the Canucks are kind of a the Canucks and Blues are both sort of like total team effort sort of teams. If anything, maybe one of the Sedins, if they have a high point total, could be in the mix. I don't know. It's anybody's ball. I mean, it's the first round, right? Who the hell knows who's right. going to come out? A guy in the first round could have 25 goals, and then all of a sudden his team gets swept in the next round, and he's forgotten in history.
Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Who is? What's your finals prediction? Who's going to be there, and who's going to win?
Well, I'm going to stick with my picks from earlier this season because they're mathematically still possible, and if they come through, then I'll look like a genius. And my picks for the San Jose Sharks. Over the Pittsburgh Penguins in the final, with the Sharks winning their first Stanley Cup. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Sharks are a bit of a mess, and their goaltending is by no means cup caliber. But you know what? It's like the moron who keeps playing the same lotto numbers, even though they never win. Occasionally, the number will come up, right? So I'm gonna stick with this, and if it comes through, I'll look like a genius.
So for Greg Wyshynski, it's a matter of pride sticking with the Sharks.
Pride or stubbornness, stubbornness that I don't want to be wrong. If San Jose had missed the playoffs, I'd probably have to reevaluate. I still think it'll be Pittsburgh out of the East, but I'd have to reevaluate the West a little bit. But I am leaning towards Detroit in that Nashville series, which again could be to my detriment. I could look like a moron for that, but I don't know. Maybe it's the Red Wings mystique that's kind of blinding me to how good Nashville is.
Well, he's Greg Wyshynski, the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports. Greg, we appreciate it. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, boys.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Giadotti and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach and backseatj, ZACNJAY. Whether you're listening on iTunes or RadioExiles.com, we really appreciate you listening to the show. This is Hottie and Naughty. Who had a good weekend? Who had a bad week? Our first Hottie, as Tully broke the news earlier, Bubba Watson wins the Masters. Guy named Bubba.
Yeah.
Wins the golf tournament down in Georgia. Yep. Good for him. And as you pointed out, Tully, it hasn't exactly been the premier players that have been winning the Masters lately.
Well, who was the guy today that was leading for most of the day?
Oosthuizen? Oosthuizen?
Oosthuizen.
He's an Afrikaner. You know, the Dutch people from South Africa. Yeah, yeah.
Afrikaan, yeah.
He was leading, and he had an albatross today. A very rare thing at Augusta. A double eagle, that is. A 2 on a par 5. Tully's looking at me in confusion.
Wow.
It's like, you got to hit the ball well.
Yeah.
To get a 2 on a par 5. Good for Bubba Watson, though. And he now owns a green jacket. Our first Naughty of the Week, shouldn't surprise anyone, Greg Williams.
Yeah, he's having a tough time this week.
Is he going to get Pete Rosed?
No.
You don't think
he
so?
He shouldn't get Pete Rosed.
Well, Pete Rosed got Pete Rosed for less.
Well, no. For less?
Gambling is not like trying to hurt someone.
Nah, man. You're all backwards here with this.
Y'all backwards.
You're all backwards with this, idiot. No, seriously though.
Well,
it's just look, that kind of talk that's been that's been said like a million times. We don't have to rehash all the little details. Well, that's why we didn't talk about it.
I think the ironic thing is that recording came out the day that Peyton was going for his appeal with Roger Goodell. I swear Goodell must have sat down with him and said, "Okay, is everyone here?" And just laughed at him, thinking that he was going to walk in there and appeal that suspension.
Like, guys, have a seat. And then he sits down, he crosses his leg, and he hits play on the tape recorder. And they just sit there and listen to it. That
would have been rough. Yeah. We have a repeat Hottie. Now, we've had a repeat Naughty before, and that's her name's Danica Patrick. We haven't heard much from her lately.
She is just a gem of a car racer, by the way. We love her. We love her.
She's a gift to the Backseat Sports Podcast.
My life goal is now going to be to have Danica Patrick on this podcast.
It will happen one day.
We need to. We will. We will.
I'd rather have her in studio.
I was just going to say that.
I'll make it my...
Would you rather have her in studio or on the phone? This is not a hard question.
Wow, mic him down. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. What are the... Do you want to weigh the pros and cons?
All right, we've gotten off track. Okay. No pun intended. Because the repeat hottie is Steven Stamkos.
Stammer.
He scored 60 goals this season for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
If he's a hottie scoring 50 goals, he's a hottie scoring 60 goals.
Yep. Yeah, if it's impressive that you score 50, it's also impressive when you score 60. That's a lot. That's 82 games, and he scores 60 times. That is too much. That's not fair. When's his next contract up, Tully?
I don't know. I think he signed one, pretty big one.
No, yeah, well. No, no, not 2 years ago. Last year.
Yeah, well, he should have waited another year.
Before this offseason. Oh, I think he got like...
Well, he was already the youngest to break the record.
Yeah, he got a lot of money.
So, yeah, he was...
So.
Yeah.
Another naughty, the Red Sox and the Yankees. They both started 0-3.
Yeah, and they both looked bad.
Anytime you can take the opportunity to, jab those two franchises.
Yeah, we made a comment off the air. Starting 0-3 in baseball is like, what? We
not, said, scoring not scoring in the first period. Period. In your first game in hockey.
Yeah.
Or having a bad first quarter in the NBA.
I mean, you know that they all count the same, right? So if you're...
Yes, but they have 159 games to make that ground up.
Yeah, but if you don't... Starting
0-3 in baseball is like giving up the first touchdown in football.
Yes, thank you.
Is that how, like, when you coach your hockey teams, like, do you go, it's cool, man, it's just like, this is early in the season, so we can drop them all now as long as we win them later. Do you do that?
That's a motivational tactic.
0-3, like.
Okay.
I scoff at that.
Our last hottie is, this may surprise some people, Heineken. They have become... the official drink of James Bond. Now, look,
it's already the official drink of James Triano. So,
very good.
It is. I love Heineken.
This is going to get a little weird because we're all used to him going to some bartender, paying like 30% attention to the guy, and saying, "Vodka martini, shaken, not stirred." So, what's he going to say now, Heineken?
Yeah.
Draft, not bottle.
Heineken. Twist it off, don't pop it off. Heineken light. It's going to be interesting to see Daniel Craig. Now, I'm assuming this is going to be in the next movie that comes out this this winter, Skyfall.
Start filming it, yeah.
Yeah, that he's going to order a Heineken. I know, good for Heineken. I just can't imagine James Bond drinking beer. But, you know, we'll see. James Bond has become one of us now.
Well,
he's an everyday spy now.
Let's be real.
He's just 07.
Beer is a man's drink. A martini is for women.
You know, martinis were men's drinks when the James Bond series started like 160 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that may be the explanation there. Jennifer Lopez, our last naughty. And here's why. Her stunt double...
is a man.
Has... a Y chromosome, and he's a man.
That's too much for that.
That Jennifer Lopez, like, she's a naughty.
Stunt double, were you trying to figure out like a creative way to say man? Her stunt double a Y chromosome.
All right, so what this Jennifer Lopez is a naughty because that means that people will believe a man is her.
Yeah. So
if you're Jennifer Lopez, do you get a little bit irritated about
just
one?
Like, how bad would you feel if you say we saw her and you say, I'm like, oh dude, oh my god, I saw her.
Yo, no,
oh man, that was not.
Yeah, you know who all the naughties are like those guys that are like, that is a nice
look at that
ass. That's a dude, pal. That is a dude. You just said that about a dude, and you cannot take that back. You can never take that back.
Now, I don't remember when Jennifer Lopez ever needed a stunt double, but I guess some of her music videos.
What was that movie she was in where she was like getting beat by her husband?
Anaconda.
Enough.
She was in Anaconda?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, that movie, movie was low budget. Now that would have cost too much. Ice Cube, Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson, and John Voight.
Wow.
That's a great movie.
They couldn't have put that cast together with that budget now.
No.
It was a little goofy. I think you're thinking of Angel Eyes. Is that one the one?
Well, Enough. Actually, wait. They could definitely make that movie affordable now. Those are a bunch of washed up, like, first of all, Ice Cube's biggest co-star now is like a bottle of Pepsi or whatever that is. Or no, a Coors Light.
Coors Light bottle.
That's what he...
I don't like the fact that Coors Light's only angle is it's colder than the other beers.
Yeah,
Heineken's like,
how do you make a whole advertising? That's a naughty. Yeah. Get out of here with that.
Heineken is saying James Bond drinks our drink. Coors Light saying it's colder.
Yeah.
It's colder than cold.
Oh, yeah?
But is it cold?
You put any beer in the fridge.
They've always done that, though.
Enough.
They've had that's trying to trick people, saying they're going to have a stupid ice train that drives by when they
frankly,
drink a beer.
Quite frankly, that's very dangerous. That train almost kills a lot of people.
That would not work in Atlanta. That would hold things up.
That would just be...
Especially at 5 o'clock when that train apparently appears.
I know. In Atlanta, people would not be cheering that train on as it invaded Peachtree Street. That was Hottie and Naughty. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. Again, iTunes or RadioExiles.com, whatever you prefer. We appreciate you listening. Thanks again to Greg Wyshynski from the Yahoo Sports blog. Yes. Puck Daddy, if you're a hockey fan, you have got to get on that blog if you haven't already. We will see you next week.